Would you turn in your Bibles please to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to finish today our talk on the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to go back to the Gospel of Luke and finish that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we begin at verse 1. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's interesting. Paul always begins his epistle, Paul, a servant, before he gets to the word apostle. He saw himself first as a servant of Jesus Christ, someone who belonged to Jesus Christ, someone to whom he was accountable. And then he mentions his spiritual gift and his authority as an apostle. Humility before honor. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. A key phrase. Faithful, we saw in Daniel chapter 1 that faithfulness to God in the essential things leads to an opportunity, larger opportunity to serve him. Faithfulness, key word. But with me, he says, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. We spend a lot of time making judgment calls about other people, don't we? We are concerned about what other people think about us. What was it D.L. Moody said? Reputation is what you are in the light. Character is what you are in the dark. We care about our reputation and our character. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Human is the key word there. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. In other words, he has a clear conscience, but that of itself does not mean that he's not guilty of some infraction. Look at verse, then we come to, it is the Lord who judges me. Do you see that? Verse 5, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. Then this relative clause is very important. Who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Wow. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Now, if you can remember back, and for some of us this is maybe going back a long way, do you remember being in high school? The only thing I remember about high school was football and basketball. Those were the sports I was involved in. I hated, did you not hate it when the teacher said, okay, we're going to have a pop quiz. Did you like that? Pop quiz. I'm unprepared. I mean, we're just, clear your desk, pull out a sheet of paper, put your name in the right-hand corner. Question number one. I always liked it when I was told, okay, this coming Thursday, you will have an exam. It will be over the contents of chapters 4 and 5 in your book. That meant that Wednesday night, I was going to read chapters 4 and 5. I was going to prepare for the test. And, 9 o'clock at night, that's when the light would go on. The medievalist used to talk about a phrase that says, it smacks of a lamp, meaning the man would stay up all night writing something. That was me. I always waited till the last minute. It was only later I found out that procrastination was a form of depression. But I always liked to know for what I was being held accountable. And as I said earlier, we all know we do better when we know we're held accountable, don't we? Yes. Paul is telling us that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, He is our Lord. Not only are we children of God, but we are servants. And He is going to hold us accountable, not for salvation, which is by grace and received at the moment of faith, but how well we have served Him. And notice that taunting phrase there, haunting phrase, that which is hidden shall be brought to light. Just think, everything that you have ever thought that you thought nobody else knew, everything you did in secret, God knows, and it's going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let me repeat for the sake of clarity. There are two judgments, well, there's 7 actually, but the two judgments we are looking at, the first is the great white throne judgment. Great. Everyone's going to be there, all unbelievers. White, purity, throne, authority. And all unbelievers will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and they will be judged for their works, which is what they've wanted all along. I don't need to trust Christ. I'm a good enough person as it is. After all, I give to charity, the United Way, and all these other wonderful things. Yeah, I'm a good person. And they're going to find out that all their good works do not measure up to the standard God gives. Did I tell you the joke about the boy whose grades were so low? He told his parents, I'm drowning below sea level. That's where we're going to be. That's where all unbelievers are. You and I, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the one who's paid the penalty for our sin, we will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. No, not negative. We will not be there. We will be at what is called the Bema. The Bema. Now, the Greek word Bema means a raised platform upon which athletes in the Olympic Games, Isthmian Games, and so forth, would come and receive their prize, would receive their laurel leaves if they've won the race. And that is what Paul often talks about, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's called Bema, although some translations just use the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you and I are going to be here at the judgment seat of Christ. There, at the great white throne, the issue is whether or not we're going to be saved. We are saved. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be evaluated for rewards. Rewards. Now, last week, we looked at a couple of them, and I won't go through all of them. If you just check the word crown in your Bible, you will find there are different crowns given to people for suffering, for perseverance, for soul winning, and for all sorts of things. But we're going to be evaluated. Now, did all of you get that list that was on the table out there? It looks, where did I put it? Here it is. It looks something like this. Did you get a list? Red, did you get one? Would you get Red a list? Now, Mark Hitchcock, in his wonderful book called The End, he lists down here 15 things for which you and I are going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. I won't go through all of them because I want to have a happy time here. But look at number one, how we treat others. Number two, how we employ our God-given talents and abilities. Number three, how we use our money. Four, how we will endure personal injustice and mistreatment. Five, how we endure suffering and trials. Six, how we spend our time. Wow. I don't like that one. Number seven, how we run the particular race God has given us. Paul was hoping not to be disqualified. Number eight, how we effectively control our sinful desires. Number nine, how many souls we witness to and win for Christ. Number 10, how much the rapture means to us and shapes our lives. Number 11, how faithful we are to God's word and God's people. Number 12, how hospitable we are to strangers. Number 13, how faithful we are in our vocation, that is, at our work, at our job. Number 14, how we support others in ministry. And number 15, how we use our tongues. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to seeing the Lord after the Bema, not before. But here at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to evaluate us. It won't be so much to shame us as it will be to reward us. In the kingdom, when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom, we saw this in Luke 19 in the parable of the 10 minas, that your faithfulness is rewarded in the kingdom. Now, when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom, it's going to be centered in Jerusalem, and he's going to administer a worldwide kingdom. And my fear is that the Lord will find me so fickle in my service to him that I get Fruitport, Michigan to administer. I've been with people that were talked about, they thought, who would be administering what, how faithful they were, and they would greet or say goodbye to one another, especially when they were visiting someone dying, and say this, may the Lord give you a rich entrance into his kingdom. Wow, a rich entrance. You see, you and I are looking forward, not backward, to the coming of the Lord and his setting up of the kingdom. And we want to enjoy him and enjoy serving him. And what he's looking for in the administration of his kingdom are fat people. F-A-T. Fat people. Faithful, available, teachable. He is looking for those kinds of people to help him administer his kingdom when he comes and sets it up on earth. And he is saying, if I'm looking for faithful people who will serve then, how do I determine whether or not you will be faithful then? By how faithful you are now. That is why the cup of cold water given in his name shall not lose its reward. Jesus is generous in his judgments, but he is honest in his judgments. I want to look at briefly, because our time is almost up, at five things about the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, we will be judged fairly. God has to, because God is fair, isn't he? He's truthful. He is honest. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. We will be judged fairly. We're going to be judged accurately. We don't have to worry about any injustice. We won't be able to say when the judgment comes and he evaluates us, our ER, I think is the military term, your efficiency report. We won't have to worry and say to him, hey, I don't think this is fair. You won't be able to say that. In Matthew 20, Jesus tells the parable of the workers that are hired to go out. You remember the story? Some were told they would get a denarius, for the day's service. And they went at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they went and served. And the guy hired people at 11 o'clock. I'll give you a denarii, one. At 2 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, he sent them and said, I'll give you so much money. And then when they came to be evaluated at the end of the day at 5 o'clock, all the workers showed up. You remember this in Matthew 20? And they found out that everybody got the same wage. And you know how it was. The ones who'd been working all day said, hey, wait a second. This is unfair. I've worked all day, and all I got was this denarii. The one. Why? He said, didn't I ask you to go work in the field for one denarii? Yeah. Well, they got the same thing. Doesn't matter. And the people here that came at the last 4 o'clock got the same wage that the person had worked all day. You see, it's not how long you've been a Christian. It's what you do as a Christian that counts. Now, true, if you've been in the Lord's service a long time, you have more of an opportunity to have shown your faithfulness. But God is gracious to us. He judges us fairly. He keeps his promise. If you give a cup of cold water, I will give you a reward. Everyone will be treated fairly. When we stand before him, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we shall all appear. There's no loophole here, no escape. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged thoroughly. We saw in the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 4:15, even that which we've done in secret will be revealed. I don't know about you, but I've done some things that I would be absolutely embarrassed and ashamed to say to you. May I be honest with you? I bet you feel the same way. There are a lot of secrets that you have that you would be ashamed to stand up right now and tell all of us. Am I right? All of you are sitting there like poker players. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:13. Now, we often think that the Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 refers to the Bible, but the Word of God is a title used of Jesus Christ, and you next see in the next verse, all of a sudden, the personal pronoun shop, not it, but he. Everything that you think and said and done as a believer will be evaluated. Now, the consciousness of this has had an effect on me many times, not always, and I'm sure it will with you. When I stop to make a decision, I often have to stop and ask, how is this going to be at the judgment seat? How is this going to go down? Will the Lord find my reasoning honorable? Or is he going to say, now I know that was the reason you told yourself, but deep down inside, this is what you were really thinking. There was a lot of selfishness in what you, oh, you made it sound real pious and real holy, and you said, I prayed about it. But deep down inside, there was a lot of selfishness there. So you and I, when we make decisions, it's good for us from time to time to sit down and say, now how is this going to play when I stand before the Lord? And he asked me about this. Not whether or not I'm going to be saved. We're saved by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In one sense, I am already an overcomer. But did I work that out? Number three, believers will be judged impartially. Romans chapter 2. God's going to be impartial. He's going to be fair. Number four, we will be judged individually. We will all, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Individually. And I won't be able to bring, wait a second, here, I got some witnesses here. Won't matter. And I won't be able to say, yeah, but what about so-and-so? That won't fly. Remember what Peter, in John 21, when Peter sees John and he's just, Jesus has just kind of gently raked Peter over the coals for his three denials. And Peter all of a sudden says, hey, what about that man over there, pointing to John? And Jesus said, if I want him to stay until I come, that's my business. It's none of yours. You follow me. Numbers 5, the judgment will be gracious. He will be great. God can't be anything but gracious to us. The only thing you and I have ever earned is hell. Anything he gives is an act of grace. He doesn't have to give me a single reward for being faithful to him. Because as a servant, that is what I'm supposed to do. And I have to remember that, and you have to remember that, that we are serving him. And his evaluation means everything. Now, I've laid some pretty heavy things on you, haven't I? And none of you are going to enjoy this. In fact, I'll wager there won't be a single one of you that will walk out of here and say, you know, of all the sermons I've heard you preach, this is the one I love the most. You're not going to say that to me. But I have to be faithful to the word. And I have to tell you with love, this is the way it is. And I'm not excluded either. In fact, James 3 tells you that spiritual leaders get a stricter judgment. So if you think you're going to get judged severely, wait till you see what happens to me. And to all who teach the word. Now, what is the good news about all of this? Number one, I believe that all of this will happen in a moment of time. Now, I don't know whether we're all going to be judged standing single file and go through this, or this will happen at the moment of death. It will be quick, because we're in eternity, and in eternity. And even then, if God were to judge all the Christians, he has only 7 years in which to do it, and then we return. So, I mean, you can, you know, if you give 2 minutes to every believer, you run into hundreds of years, not seven. So this has led a lot of Bible scholars to believe that this judgment will happen in a split second of time, which is the way I like my shots given. I once had to give blood. I have a phobia about needles, going back to my childhood. And I remember going to give blood, and this lady who said, "I've been in the Air Force, I've been doing this for years." She had to stab me 7 times in order to find my vein. On the 7th one, I grabbed her by the arm and said, "Now we're not going to hurt each other, are we?" Blood, I was sweating. So I don't like pain, but the fact that it's going to be over in a split second, okay. But here's the second good piece of news. Not only will this judgment apparently be quick, the rewards are eternal. Eternal. Think about that. Everything you own right now, one day you're going to leave behind. Ruth A. and I had this discussion. At one time I had close to 3,000 books in my library. And then Ruth Ann said to me one day, "Now, when you die," notice the certainty with which she spoke that, "when you die, do you really think the boys are going to want those books?" You're kidding me. Not like my books? The ones that have taught me so much? My friends? They're going to give them to Goodwill? Are you kidding me? That's the way it is. You remember the old story about someone saying, "You know, John D. Rockefeller died the other day." And someone said, "I wonder how much money he left behind." And the guy said, "All of it." We're not going to take anything. It is what we do now that has eternal significance. Asking people to come to hear the gospel. Helping in a prison ministry like Helen. Doing work around the church, or even bringing a meal for others. Everything you do for Christ has the potential of giving you an eternal reward that is imperishable, undefiled, and that will not fade away. That is worth it. That is the good news. Jesus is the most attractive man I've ever read. I've been reading biographies of Washington for years, and to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to work with the guy. He was a micromanager and he would have given me fits. Good man? Yes. Great man even. But if you read about the first years of his life, he's not an attractive man. The Washington that we know at the end is not the Washington of his 20s. Mm-mm. No way. But Jesus Christ is always attractive. But he can be severe. He loves you. He wants you to succeed. He wants to give you rewards. but he's not going to give you anything out of pity at all. At the Bema seat of Christ, for the first time, you and I will receive our just dues. And all we can say is, Amen. Now, what is the motivational application? We live in a world where everything is becoming meaningless. Truth, meaningless. Your gender, meaningless. Everything is, we're living in more and more chaos. Here is something that you can sink your teeth into. Here is something that is eternal. I heard C.S. Lewis in a taped lecture one time say he loved toffee because it lasted longer. Well, what can last longer than the rewards and the approval of Jesus Christ? Make it our aim, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10-9, make it your aim to please him, knowing that whatever you do in his name shall not be unrewarded with an eternal reward that no one can take away and that will not diminish in time. Your life is significant. C.S. Lewis said it well. Everything that is not eternal is eternally out of date. Keep your eyes on the Lord and seek to please him. And remember, we are going to be held accountable. That is both a caution and a blessing. Let's stand for the benediction. Father, thank you for offering to us these rewards for faithfulness. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want that. Help us, Father, to live each day knowing that everything we do has eternal consequences. And when we stand before us, please be gracious and help us, Father, today to serve you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.